to say one time that God is a good cook. And I kind of laughed because I like to cook. And I'll be honest, I have never thought about God being a good cook or a chef. It's never crossed my mind. But when you look in Exodus 16, when the children of Israel had been delivered out of Egyptian bondage, and they're out in the wilderness, excuse me, and they're murmuring and complaining like they seem to do all the time they were out there. And they went to Moses and they said, would it be that God would have took us when we were in Egypt at the flesh pots, being full? But instead, you brought us out here in this wilderness to die. So, of course, Moses takes it to God. And God says, I heard a murmur. You know, nothing new. So I'm going to send them flesh in the evening, and I'll send them manna in the morning. So Moses went back to the people, and he told them what God had said. I'm going to send you flesh in the evening and manna in the morning. He said, but when you gather the manna, you only gather an omer for each person. You don't gather any more. Except for on the sixth day. You gather enough for 2 days because the seventh day is a day of rest. You know how we be. And I think Ike said it good Wednesday night in Laity when he talked about obedience. We tend not to be obedient sometimes. Some of them folks, they weren't obedient. What did they do? They went out and they gathered more manna than they needed for that day, thinking that they were going to store it up. And the scripture tells us that it stank and bred worms because they were disobedient to what God had said. He said, only gather enough for 1 day. But you know how we are. We like to do it our way. Yet when they gathered more on the sixth day, on the seventh day, it was perfectly fine. It had no worms, did not stink. They were able to eat it. God gave them just enough of what they needed. Enough is as much or as many are required. However, let me go back because I thought this was interesting. Okay, might not be funny to anybody else, but it was funny to me when I thought about it. The children of Israel being fed in the wilderness. As I said, God sent them flesh in the evening, manna in the morning. He sent the wind to bring the quails into the camp in the evening. He sent the dew to bring the manna in the morning. Their food was brought to them at their doorstep every day for 40 years. And I thought, really, that's better than DoorDash and Uber Eats? Because not only did their food get delivered to their doorstep, it came for free. So you'd be paying an arm and leg for DoorDash and Uber Eats. But it came for free. Now, back to God being a good cook. Because not only did he provide enough for them for 40 years, it had the right nutritional value to sustain them for those 40 years. it's not like sometimes, you know, we're going to eat the cookies and the Lays and the Snickers and the Almond Joys. I'm talking about everything that I like, okay? No nutritional value whatsoever. But he sent them food to sustain them that had the nutritional value to give them the energy that they needed. Because, you know, you look at nowadays, we're taking a multivitamin. We're taking vitamin C, a zinc, vitamin B3, and the list goes on and on and on, and every dietary supplement that you can think of, trying to get nutrition into our body. Yet God just made it with the quail and the manna. What is wrong with our food today? But that's a whole nother story. So he provided enough for them in the wilderness. But one of the names of God that is mentioned in the Bible is El Shaddai. El Shaddai is only mentioned 7 times in the scripture. El Shaddai means more than enough. It means the all-sufficient one, the God of plenty. And even though El Shaddai is only mentioned 7 times in the scripture, you can find El Shaddai from Genesis to Revelation. You can find the all-sufficient God throughout every scripture in the Bible. And I say that because you can look at Moses, children of Israel. It would have been just enough for God to part the Red Sea and for them to go through, right? That just enough. They would have got through. But the scripture says they went through on dry ground. That's more than enough. They didn't have to walk through in the mud, but they went through on dry ground. You can ask the widow woman who had only just a little bit of oil, and she was going to make a cake for her and her son. They were going to die, but the prophet said, make me one first. And she made him one first, being obedient. And the scripture says that her cruse oil never went dry. More than enough. There's scripture after scripture after scripture that you can find where God has proven that he is the all-sufficient one. And you know, it's really sad to think that he proves himself to us day in and day out, over and over and over again. He is the all-sufficient one. Now, as I explained, God gave just enough manna to feed the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness. And he really is a good chef. I mean, he's a good cook. So needless to say, when he does have leftovers, it's not by accident. Let's look at Luke 9. Starting with verse 12, it says, and when the day began to wear away, they came, the 12, and said unto him, send the multitude away that they may go into the towns and country round about and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. But he said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people, for they were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and broke and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat and were all filled. And there was taken up of fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. Father, we just thank you again for allowing us to be in your house one more time. And God, I just ask that you help us to receive the word that you have for us on today. Lord, open our eyes to your understanding. Give us an ear to hear. Give us good ground in our heart as your word is sown. And Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory in your holy name. Amen. So here in Luke 9, this is after the disciples had gone out. They had taken the word of God out into the surrounding country. They had healed the sick. They came back. They told Jesus what had happened. And he said, well, let's go over into this desert place and we'll talk about it. So the scripture says they went over to a desert place by Bethsaida. But when the people heard that that's where he was, the people went too. So now we have this situation here. They're in the desert place. The people have come. And his disciples, who had just been out healing the sick, spreading God's word, seeing miracles, signs and wonders, happening at their own hand, now they're standing with Jesus and they're saying, send the people away. They need to go get some food. Now granted, I believe that there was a genuine concern for the disciples, for the people, because they were out there. There was no food. They didn't want them to be falling and fainting and, you know, just having a time. But you got to think, they were just moving in the Spirit of God. God was just moving mightily through them. And now they're at a place and they're going, but wait, what are we going to do? We got all these people out here. I think they weren't thinking, like us, that they were serving the God who does more than enough. They were serving the God who was still working miracles, signs, and wonders. And so when they were telling Jesus, hey, we got to let these people go. But what did Jesus say? He said, give them to eat. Come on now, you've been working miracles. Work this miracle up. Feed these people. Give them to eat. And they said, all we have is two small fish and 5 little barley loaves. What I like about that 2 small fish, we all know, well, I don't want to say we all know. I hate to make assumptions. But a lot of us, and the scripture says, there were 2 small fish. And 5 barley loaves. Have you ever thought about the fact that the little boy who had that lunch, his name is never mentioned? And although his name is never mentioned, we still know the story. The story has continued throughout these thousands of years that this little boy gave up his lunch to Jesus. All he had was enough for himself. But when he put it in the hands of the all-sufficient God, it became more than enough for everybody that was there. When we take what we think we have that is just enough for us and we put that into the hands of the all-sufficient God, it becomes more than enough. You know, it's just in man's nature to be selfish. That little boy could have kept his lunch, went over behind that tree or that bush, and sat there and ate, not thinking about the 5,000 that was out there. But he took the little that he had and gave it to Jesus. Saints, I want to encourage us, take the little that we have and give it to Jesus. Doesn't matter what the little is, because what that little is, he will make more than enough for the situation. We want to carry all of our load ourselves, all of our problems, everything that's going on in our life. We want to carry that all ourselves, but if we would just take that to Jesus, if we would lay it at the foot of the cross, we would allow him to take our burden upon him, because that's why he paid the price of Calvary, so that we don't have to carry that burden. Take what little we have. And so Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do. But the disciples are saying, hey, this is all we have. 2 small fish, 5 loaves. And we definitely do not have enough money to go buy food for all these people. But nevertheless, when Jesus told them to have them sit down, disciples were obedient, went around and had them sit down. And Jesus took those 2 small fish, 5 loaves of bread, and he blessed them and he broke them. And then he told his disciples to take it out to the people. Now, can you imagine? Like I said, I have a very vivid imagination, okay? The disciples, starting out with 2 small fish, 5 little barley loaves. Jesus has blessed them, looking up to heaven. Thank you, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Break them. Start giving them out to the 12 and saying, okay, take this out and feed the people. Can you imagine what the disciples were thinking? How far is this going to go? Uh-oh, wait a minute. Wait, Luke got some. Hey, Matthew got some too. John got some. All of this food. And now they're taking it around. They're feeding it to the people. But God didn't just, Jesus did not just give them enough to feed the people. He gave them more than enough. They took up 12 baskets. And of course, there goes my imagination again, because I'm thinking, did that little boy get to take some home? Because, you know, he was already poor. He only had a little bit. But they had 12 baskets left over. See, we have to realize that God's blessing is not contained or is not limited by what we contain. It's not limited to what we think. It's not limited to what we can do. He's all sufficient. He's all power. He's a big God. I don't want to say he's a big God. He is the big God, because besides him, there is no other. But we tend to not look at him being all sufficient. You know, we live our life as, I serve God. Skip, 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 jump, jump, jump. Happy as a lark. All is well. I go to this big mega church over in Yonderville, and I know all these big wigs, and, you know, I'm rubbing elbows with all the celebrities. But who is the God that we serve? Is he the God that just shows up when the stars are shining bright and all the big names are out there? Or is he the God who allowed his own creation to nail him to an old rugged cross, to shed his blood, not for anything that he had done wrong, but for the remission of my sins? And not just my sins. See, that's what I'm talking about, more than enough. It might have been enough for him just to redeem Adam. But he is more than enough to where not only did he redeem Adam, but he will redeem every man that walks along, man and woman. Okay, I don't want anybody to go away going, she just talked about men. Let me make it. He will redeem every human that walks the face of this earth until he comes back. Because his blood is sufficient. His blood is more than enough. The price that he paid on Calvary was a price that no other man could pay. More than enough. We have to get comfortable in knowing that he is more than enough. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know, a lot of times when we hear that scripture, we automatically think money. Of course, we need money because we got to pay our bills. So it is important. But when we look at that scripture that he's going to supply all of our need, I don't know about anybody else, but I need to be redeemed. I need to be saved. I need to be saved from this present world. I need to be saved from the world to come in eternity. Those are my needs. Yes, I need money. I need a house. I need a car. I need clothes. But those things are temporal. Those things are going to pass away. But I need salvation. I need him to have paid that price on Calvary because I couldn't do it for myself. You know, I always say, as much as I know that Pastor loves me, as much as I know that Pastor would lay down his life for me, it's a moot point. Because him laying down his life in this lifetime might save me from whatever it is that we're in, but it does nothing for my lifetime and eternity. But it's because of the need that we have that Jesus laid down his life for us for eternity. That's where that more than enough comes in. You know, we look at having good things in the natural. And like I said, these things are temporal and they are needful. And the Lord provides enough for us to sustain us in this lifetime. But the more than enough that he is giving us is taking us into and throughout eternity. And that's where we need to be looking towards. You know, we will survive down here, good or bad, storm or sunshine. We will survive. But what are we going to do when we get to the other side? What are we going to do when we meet Jesus? When we're standing there face to face with him? What are we going to do then? Are we going to be able to say, Lord, I realize that the sacrifice that you paid on Calvary is more than enough for me. It's more than enough that allows me to be able to spend eternity with you. El Shaddai is more than enough to save us, more than enough to heal us, more than enough to give us peace in the midst of our storm, more than enough for whatever it is that we need. He's more than enough. He's our sustainer. He's our overcomer. And because of the price that was paid for us, not only is he an overcomer, but he has made us an overcomer. You know, we like to think that we're an overcomer because of something that we've done. Well, no, it's not anything that we've done. It's only because of the grace and the mercy of God that we can be an overcomer. I talked about more than enough in eternity. And when we look at the fact that Jesus died on the cross, went to the grave, and he rose again. In his resurrection, not only did he defeat death for himself, but he defeated death for all believers. All those who will place their faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He will be more than enough to us if we allow him to be. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just ask that you help us, Lord, that we're able to turn our faith loose in El Shaddai, to be able to turn our faith loose in the all-sufficient one. And Lord, to believe you, to trust you, to put our faith in you. Help us, Lord, that we realize that you are more than enough. You are more than enough in every situation that we go through. And Father, we just thank you right now for loving us enough to be more than enough in our life. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory.
Thank you, Lord. Father, help us to just continue to remember that you died for us and that you rose for us and you are more than enough. He said that he cares for us so we can cast all our burdens, all our cares upon him because he loves us like nobody else can love us. So we want to thank you so much for being out this morning. I hope that you were blessed by the message this morning and reminded that even though we go through what we go through, that when we cast our cares on him, that he always makes a way for us. And so if you haven't had a chance to give, please remember that we do need your help. You can give at the baskets in the back or in the kiosk in the lobby. You can also give online. Let's see. I don't think that we have any other announcements, but please come back and join us for the 11 o'clock service. If you'll stand with me, I'll just pray and dismiss us. Father, once again, we thank you for bringing us all here, Lord, for no other reason just to hear from you. We ask, Lord, that the word will continue to sit on our hearts, Lord. And when we get home, we pray that everything is the way that it was when we left it, Lord. And Father, the trials and the tribulations that we go through this week and the next week, Lord, help us to remember that you are our Father and you have everything under control. Lord, you are more than enough for us, and we thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. Thank you.